There is an ancient goddess that was known throughout history for breaking boundaries, destroying cultural norms, and fighting against everything a nation held dear. Our guest today says that this goddess has returned and that she might be what is behind the surge in pornography, drugs, and the occult in America. Hello and welcome everybody to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Artis Horn. We're joined in the studio today by the legendary, the one and only, and author of the new book, The Return of the Gods. Please help me welcome Mr. Jonathan Cahn. All I can say is if you missed last week's program, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's the kind of TV that I think boggles the mind, and we went straight after it. Jonathan was talking about his new book, The Return of the Gods, and of course, as the title suggests, he covered several of the gods that he believes have reemerged, re-infiltrated American culture, global societies all over, and it is behind why we're seeing the rapid acceleration in moral decay all around the world, and in particular here in the United States. We talked about the possessor, and we're going to switch gears this week. Jonathan, as always, we have so much to cover in such limited time. I want to dive right back into your book and get this program moving. People watching the program, they probably identify, if we were to describe an American culture decaying as we speak before their eyes. This is supernatural. This is not just coincidental. We are generations removed now from great generations that understood war. That understood why we have the freedoms that we're squandering now, okay? They're influenced by supernatural forces, Jonathan, they couldn't even comprehend while they're addicted to their handheld technology, and all of this is happening right before our very eyes. But there is another god. Who is the Enchantress? And what was she known for in the ancient pagan world?
Yeah, we spoke about the possessor last time, and that in Hebrew is Baal or Baal. Baal had a wife. He had a consort in the Canaanite mythology. Now, and it was this goddess who actually appears all over. She's known in the Bible as Ashtoreth or Ashtorah. It says, oh, it says Baal and Ashtoreth. She's known, though, in other places in Mesopotamia, we know her as Ishtar, also as Inanna, also as Astarte. Also, when she came to Greece, it was Aphrodite she became. And then Rome, Venus she became. And all these, they bear the same things of this, what starts there. The thing is this, she's the goddess of, as you said, she breaks convention, she bends whatever she can, and she's the goddess of sexuality and sexual immorality. She's also the goddess of war at the same time. She's also the goddess of prostitutes. She herself is a prostitute, and she is the goddess of rampant sexuality. So when you look at what happened to Israel, first comes Baal, then comes the goddess, Ashtoreth. And so they get into sexual immorality. That's part of what happened. But look at America now for a moment. What would happen if she comes? First, it's the putting out of God, opening the door. Baal comes in, the possessor, takes a nation to make it forget God and forget an even new God. That's where we are now.
Right.
And it all starts early 60s. But what happens right after that? If she came back into the world, if she came back to America, there would be something that would affect, that would change sexuality. What happens? The sexual revolution happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? Like clockwork. Yeah. And in the Bible, it's always Baal, Ashtoreth. So first that, then comes it, starts overturning sexuality, overturning norms that have been there for 2,000 years. Christian version,
sure.
Marriage, family, everything gets overturned. She hasn't stopped. We are still in this now in a
sure.
deeper stage. But that's what all begins, like clockwork.
Right. We don't even know at this point what ends this will serve. How far will God allow this to go before he returns and judges the world?
Yes.
What is her connection? Is it the teaser of the beginning of the program? I mentioned pornography, which, if you've done your research, you know that this is affecting our church leaders now.
Yes.
Allie and Donna wrote a book, Dark Covenant, in which they brilliantly outlined how many of our leaders, this is your youth pastors, folks, this is your pastors, are now more than 40% of the church leadership in this country, either casually or self-identify as one who might be addicted to pornography. What is her connection to pornography, drugs, witches, and the occult?
Yeah, she is called the Harem Tu, which means the prostitute. So a prostitute, number one, takes sexuality out of the marriage chamber and into the culture, into the public square, into the marketplace. Mm. So first, she sexualizes the culture. We turn away from God.
Yes.
This is what comes in. And so with that, she was also the goddess. She's called in Greek, the name is Porne. This is where we get porn from. The first literature we have really in the world, pretty much, of pagan literature is about her. The literature of the prostitute. When you translate that into Greek, that is pornography. Pornography. The very beginning is with this goddess. The very beginning. She multiplied images of naked people through clay and stone of herself all throughout the culture. She's the one who possesses the culture through the sexuality. She paganizes the culture through sexuality. She overturns Christian sexuality and makes it pagan sexuality. So what we've been watching the last 50 years or so, the same thing. It's the paganization of sexuality. All these things go back there. So you have that. Now, here's another thing. We talk about erotica all over. The word erotic comes from Eros. Eros was the god who's the son of Aphrodite, who's Ishtar in Greek form. Yep. So even that comes from her. She is also the goddess of she dwelt in the taverns, in the alehouses. It says that was her temple. She's the goddess of intoxicating substances. So she's the one who intoxicates. I call her the enchantress. She was called that. She seduces. So all these things. So what she did, now what we watch in America, you have the turning, you have the sexual revolution. In the same you have an explosion of addiction, of drugs use, a drug culture, all starting in the 60s. We are more addicted now than ever to the street. So that is there. So you have drugs, but she was also the goddess of casting spells. People would pray to her to cast spells on people. She was a sorceress. She is the goddess of the occult. So what do we see? We see, like clockwork, you see the sexual revolution, you see the... And then you see in the 60s an explosion, revival of the occult, revival of witches, women becoming witches, which is to come into the image of Ishtar, of the goddess. And so right now we have more witches in America than we have Presbyterians. That all comes from the goddess.
You know, it's what's really astonishing is that we are told that this way of viewing the world is very progressive, that we Christians and, you know, the Judeo-Christian morality that is outlined in the Bible, in the law that was given to Moses, that's old-fashioned, that's from an outdated time, that's a very patriarchal culture. We need to throw this off. The fact is that Inanna and what Jonathan is talking about, that literature goes back to 3000 BC, the very beginning of writing. So when Moses came down the mountain in 1446 BC or thereabouts, this type of worship and the sacralization of deviant sexuality was very, very old.
Yes.
So what the progressives are telling us today is forward-thinking and progressive is actually regressive. It's
taking
us back to a morality that's 5,000 years old.
Yeah. The first sexual revolution was the revolution of Christianity in the Roman Empire. That was the progressive.
Right.
When it got away from these things, when these things disappeared. But we are now going back to it.
Yes.
And so all these things are signs of the return of these gods and the return of the goddess.
You know what I find interesting about this is that when Paul was silencing the trouble women in Ephesus and Corinth, he was silencing the women who were involved in the very kind of pornographic and prostitutional services that you're talking about here. So then Derek says this is regressive. It's also oppressive because essentially what you have at the end of the day is that all of the freedoms that we get as women, as men, all of this open sexuality and revolutionary, all it ends up is just a squash fest of all of our rights, Christianity rights, and then it totally perverts everything on a secular level.
Yeah, and the freedom came from the gospel. And the only thing that you, because in the end, all these things end up degrading everybody, ends up destroying everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, women, men, all these things.
Absolutely.
It was the gospel that saved the civilization, and it's been the only thing that's preventing this. People don't realize, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah. One of my prayers, and those that know me know that I'm being genuine here, and I've talked about this on Simply His, the coffee shop program with the ladies. One of my prayers for all of my children, my niece, our family members, is that they will find, and you guys will identify with this, if you've got little ones, you're praying already about this, that they will find spouses that are not already, at very young age, completely destroyed because of the exposure that they've had to pornography via their cell phones and everything else. It's progressive, it's addictive. Yes. My niece is a beautiful, healthy, early 20-year-old. She's in college, and she's just starting to date. And, you know, 30 years ago, she would have been the kind of beautiful young lady that guys would have lined up, please, oh, just get a shot for a date. By the time she starts dating, most of the pool of guys to choose from have so already pre-edified these fictitious, totally unrealistic ideas of what sex is supposed to look like and what it's supposed to be like. By the idea of just marrying a normal spouse and having a normal marriage is boring.
Yeah.
It doesn't compete with what the world is offering.
Yeah.
They've never learned to control themselves. So let me ask you something, Jonathan. What, and maybe that's a part of what I'm getting at here. In your view, what does this goddess, the enchantress. What does she have to do with what's happening to marriage today?
Well, it all goes together because she's the prostitute. So prostitution, it goes against marriage. So it's no accident that when she begins this possession, she possesses through all, look, we just said about pornography, she's possessing people through that.
Absolutely.
You know, and so the thing is that by doing that, ever since the sexual revolution, notice, same time, marriage starts weakening. Mm-hmm. Family starts weakening.
Right.
She's not a faithful woman. She's not like a mother. Nothing. She is one who destroys marriage. So mm-hmm. so by taking sexuality out of marriage, where it is, it weakens marriage, and it sexualizes the culture, sexualizes children. And so there's no accident, all these things, everything. When you take away, remember, paganism, you take away the barrier, what happens is that you weaken it. Between married and not married, between fornication and sexuality, all those things, it actually, but in the end, it actually destroys sexuality. There's like pornography.
Yes.
So all these things are, everything happening with families, divorce, that's all goes back to this.
Right.
We're going to have to take a break in just a second to make sure that you guys know how you can get a copy of this incredibly timely book, The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn. But Jonathan, if I can sneak one more question in before we do that, what does the Enchantress have to do with transforming of male female man and woman? That's a very hot button issue right now.
Yes.
It's being debated at schools.
Yes.
And should
everywhere.
This be things that we're teaching our young children? At what age are they allowed to be exposed to this? And
you've
got blue team and red team at absolute cutthroat war over this.
Yeah, well, notice first of all, it goes in progression. This is the deeper work of the goddess. First it's, okay, sexuality out of marriage. Now it's sexuality out of gender, but it keeps going. Well, the thing is, the strange thing about this goddess, strange thing about Ishtar, is that there was something, she was like a composite. She was female, but she had masculine attributes. She says in the thing, it says, I am a woman, I am a man. It says in the ancient inscriptions, she has the power to turn men into women and women into men. And so what we are seeing now is that. And this is not just, this is in the sexual realm, this is in the social realm. What she does is, she is masculinizing women, defeminizing women, taking women away from motherhood, away from femininity, making them more like her. You know, which is a warrior, which is an angry one who always usurped authority. She is feminizing men. She is demasculizing men. Mm-hmm. So the spirit in the culture, like if a man is masculine, they'll say that's toxic.
That's
if a
right.
woman is masculine, they'll applaud. That's crazy.
That's
the spirit. That's the spirit of the goddess.
Yes. Right.
And so she is merging. She is confusing. She is getting, for instance, she's channeling boys to stop being as father. Their protective instinct is going into video games, into their sexual instinct, into pornography. So
yes.
So boys are being, women be, you know, you need to fight against. Against men, against the patriarchy. You know, this goddess, she fought against her father who was the patriarchy, you know. So,
right.
So this is everything that's happening.
This book explains everything that you're saying right now. It explains everything. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to make sure that you know how you can get your copy of The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn. Please don't go anywhere. We're going to see you on the other side of this break. We'll be back.
The gods that ruled the ancient pagan world have been restrained for ages, but now the time of their return has finally come, and they are angry. Skywatch TV is proud to present the Return of the Gods collection. When you order Jonathan Cahn's explosive new book, The Return of the Gods, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the Jonathan Cahn collection on DVD and the never-before-released video entitled Gods of the Bible Unveiled. Jonathan Cahn is back with his most explosive book ever to reveal the ancient mysteries that have been playing out in our modern world, which all signaled the return of the gods. In this stunning book, you will uncover the mystery of the House of Spirits and how it affects an entire nation. Mysteries linked to the exact dates of pivotal Supreme Court decisions. The sign of the gods from ancient Mesopotamia that has now appeared in America. How ancient mythology has played out scene by scene on the streets of New York City. And the identity of the dark trinity of gods that have infiltrated America, such as the Possessor, the Enchantress, and the Destroyer, and so much more. Also included in this must-have collection, Gods of the Bible Unveiled. Join Skywatch TV's own Drew Graffia as he sits down with groundbreaking author Derek Gilbert to present the brand new nearly two-hour DVD that systematically breaks down how to understand what the gods in the Bible are and what their place in Christianity is. In this instructional guide, You will be taken step by step through why God calls his sons gods in the Psalms, how the fall of Genesis is only one of three divine rebellions, the biblical origin of the pagan gods and demigods, and how the Greek gods and titans found their origin in our Bibles. This instructional DVD has never before been released and was specially produced for inclusion with this limited time collection. But that's not all. In this amazing offer, you'll also receive the Jonathan Cahn Collection, featuring three uncut, extended, and two hot-for-TV episodes on The Return of the Gods that will leave you speechless, and three additional episodes of Jonathan's best interviews with the Skywatch TV investigative team. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So be prepared to understand the gods like never before as you expose their dark agendas for you and your family. The Return of the Gods Collection. Available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in studio again with the incredible Jonathan Cahn. We're talking about The Return of the Gods. Are you guys keeping up with this? This is amazing. We're talking so fast, but it's like we said during the break, none of this is anything less than captivating. I'm right there. I'm plugged in. Jonathan, with limited time as always, I want to dive right back into where we were at before the break. We're talking about the Enchantress. We're talking about the decay of America. Yes. We're talking about the collapse of marriage, the addictive nature of pornography and what it's doing to men and women, and our church leaders, catastrophically. What mystery does the goddess priesthood reveal for our times?
Yeah, the goddess had a priesthood, and you know what they were? They were men in her temple dressed up as women. They were men who acted as women. There were men who pretended to be women, the men who made up themselves as women. She is the goddess of androgyny. Hmm. She's taking male and female, not just kind of messing, she's joining them together. And so now the fact that we are seeing in this culture this spirit of androgyny, of breaking the barriers between the two, that is her. I mean, she herself is androgyny. It says she can go from man to woman. And at the same time, when you see now the return in the Western culture, you never have this for thousands of years. You have men dressed up as women and you have this on television. This has come into the mainstream. This has not been since the days of her priesthood. And that's what left when the gospel came in. We are watching it return because it's a sign of her return.
Wow. The return of the gods, and this is also something in your book. We've just got to make sure that we cover. The Return of the Gods reveals an ancient mystery that exploded on the streets of New York, New York City, and transformed America's and the world's culture.
Well, the whole movement of gender confusion, of pride, of rainbows, all that, of same-sex, all exploded in New York City, 1969. And this is like at the edge of the sexual revolution in the thing called Stonewall. In a nutshell, it was an uprising at the bar called Stonewall, which was a gay bar, and they raided it. And it was an uprising against it. They set it on fire. It was all, and that began the entire movement. The movement of pride, every march you see began is a commemoration of that. But hidden in that is an ancient mystery that actually the goddess's presence and the mythology of the god actually manifested that night. Yeah. I mean, amazingly. One, she's always, as we said, Ishtar, the goddess, her place is, in the ancient language, is called the Eshtam. That is, we said, the tavern. Stonewall was a tavern. That's where she makes her stand. She's drawn always to the gates. She makes her stand at the gate. Her symbols are a gatepost. What's the gate of America? The gate of America is New York City. Mm-hmm. The gate of Western civilization was New York City. So she makes her stand at the gate. Also, the taverns of Ishtar are filled with cross-gendering. Well, so was that night. In one of the ancient writings, Epic of Gilgamesh, she's accused of breaking the stone wall.
Oh,
that's
wow.
where it comes.
Wow.
Stonewall
Spot
is the
on.
Center. That's where it comes. When she goes to war, one of the signs that you see is the lion. She rides a lion, and the first thing you see is the lion's head. at Stonewall, I won't go into it, actually the lion's head appears. I'm not going to go into it that very night. There's something called the Dance of Ishtar, where in the middle of battle, she dances for destruction. In the middle of the riot, there's a dance that breaks out. And they actually start chanting a song that has words that go back to the tablets of Ishtar, amazingly, that wow. on that night. And I call it an avatar, and that is that someone who's kind of channeling the goddess. The one who triggered this whole movement was actually a woman who had masculine features, nature, and she was actually an embodiment of Ishtar. She was a patron of the bars and all that. And on that night, the police arrest her, and at that point, she's fighting with them, and she tells the crowd, do something. And at that moment, everything explodes. Everything goes into a frenzy. It's actually as if the crowd was possessed. Frenzy. She's the goddess of fire. She tries to set the bar on fire with policemen inside. Goes crazy. The thing is that Ishtar is called in the hymns Storm. She's called Storm, the loud, thundering storm. The woman's name was Storm. The woman who triggered everything, Stormae, was named Storm. I mean, everything. It's crazy. And that is what launched everything we have seen to this day.
Wow.
This is one of the things that blew our minds, Sharon and I, as we were reading through this. She's done a lot of reading and research on this, as we've written quite a bit about this entity. But we have never applied it so specifically to an event, a specific event, the way you did here. This is phenomenal. This is mind-blowing. Yeah, it really explains a lot.
Thank you. Hmm. It's amazing that everything we're seeing, and even on television with children's programming, everything all comes from that. And that night, it was like she appeared. And if you look at her mythology, there's a mythology of how she rises, she comes back from the land of the dead, the underworld. It's kind of like, remember, I told you, these gods were kind of cast out. And this is a dramatic coming back. But it even follows the mythology in that night of how it happened. She was bound, and then these cross-gender people come to the rescue. Everything played out that night. And everything has come from that.
What I really enjoyed about your book is it exposed the God's battle plan from beginning to end. And the culmination would be the Stonewall event breaking out. But you see it with pornography, you know, attacking the minds of people, making them live in shame, guilt, and condemnation. So they can't do the Lord's work with a split mind, you know. And then you think of the occult. They're going to other entities, other deities for information because maybe God's not speaking to them for whatever reason. And then drugs, clouding the mind, not being sober and vigilant.
She's a seductress. She has seduced this nation. I'm going to throw in something else here, is the transitioning like of children. And we say to ourselves, how could any adult do that? What would possess them? Well, this would possess them.
This explains,
It says, and remember, she says, I turn a man into a woman into a man. Now, if you take that literally, that means a full, she's the goddess of transition. And her priests were literally surgically altered. They were surgically altered, and it affected their hormones. And there was actually ancient inscriptions toward that effect. And actually, there was a thing where people danced before her, these people, these men, and they would actually dance with scalpels, the things that actually cut them. This all goes back to that as well.
I sympathize. I really do sympathize with not just the children, that statistically a lot of them will grow up and regret mutilating themselves for life, but I'm also sympathetic to the people that encouraged them to do it. Because a lot of these people are victims of some of the gods, some of the spirits, the demonic influence that Jonathan's describing here. The people at the very top of this evil that are writing our curriculum, that are pushing the agenda down our throats to bring us to the global reset and the new world order, they have victimized so many people who probably believe that their motives are altruistic. They're setting people free. They're helping people find themselves. Who despise, by the way, Christianity.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that a lot of Christians haven't helped them because of their vicious attacks on some of these movements instead of showing them love, which is really our job as Christians is to show people love,
absolutely.
Right? It's tragic. People will go into the church, and we've outlined how many things that we view are sin because this is what the Bible describes in terms of addiction or substance abuse, whatever. And the church will open arms to the guy that comes in and rededicates his life to the Lord who's been a 20-year meth abuser, right? But somebody comes in with their identity in confusion, and it's just too weird.
That's too weird. That's right.
The kid with the blue hair and the tattoo, that is just really uncomfortable. I don't know what to do with that. So I sympathize deeply with so many of these people because I believe with you, Jonathan, that they have been deceived by powers they can't even comprehend.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and everything becomes a civil rights issue.
So the situation with sexuality in children, it's being fostered now as a civil rights issue. You know, these children have a right to explore sexuality or explore the types of things that are being propagated, saturated in society, exposed to the children. And then when children ask questions, well, if you don't let them explore that to the fullest extent that their curiosity might take, you're violating their civil rights. It's really a head trip, actually.
And you're right. We're all in the same boat. I mean, except we're blessed to be saved. But the gods are against everybody, and the gods are against their own. The gods will destroy their own. You know, just like those who do this in the suicide rate, the gods are, you know, when you look at the worshipers of these gods, they cut themselves, and, you know, they did all these things. So absolutely, and the children, I mean, right now, if you look at the children, the statistics, like right now, 20% will say they don't know what their gender is. 20%. That is the work of something that's not natural. And the other thing is that, just to give a one kind of ceiling on the mystery, there's so much more to what happened. But the whole thing that I told you, when this was all birthed, even the timing was determined by the ancient mystery. The timing of Stonewall took place during the days of Tammuz, the lover of Ishtar. These were the days on the ancient calendar that were devoted to him, when she especially possessed a culture during that time. It happened the weekend of the full moon, which was linked to Ishtar. It happened near the summer solstice, a pagan time of the year. The day that Stonewall was sealed, that date was sealed, is actually a day when I looked up on the ancient Babylonian calendar that says this day is appointed, that the 10th of Tammuz is appointed to cast a spell to cause a man to love a man. That's when it all began.
Yeah.
Jonathan, with just a couple of minutes left, are there any other connections to the Stonewall event that you're talking about and the ancient battle plan of the goddess?
Yeah, actually what we're going to see, and when we get to the last part, which we're going to get to the war of the gods and where is it going and what's happening, what's the future, the goddess, in one of the myths, she makes her platform the wall. She stands on the wall and makes her platform. So Stonewall became the platform where she's transforming everything. I mean, go into a supermarket and look at children's cereal boxes. You'll see this on that. That's craziness, but it's happening everywhere. This was the platform that has changed, touched everything. Absolutely.
And unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but Jonathan, again, share with my viewers the book, The Return of the God. I agree with everything you're saying, by the way. This is so timely, and it's such an important warning both to the church and also to the layperson that wants to know, what am I seeing unravel right now in this country? It explains all of it from a supernatural standpoint.
Yeah.
But why do you think people need this book right now?
Yeah, I just started doing the interview. Some people are saying this is the most important book I've ever done. I believe it is for this moment, this hour where we are. We're all, this is the only book I can say that every single person is dealing with it all the time in some way. This is revealing. It's an expose. It's an ancient mystery, but it's an arming. It is an equipping. It's a strengthening. It is an antidote, not only for those as a believer, but those in your life who are under that. And even there may be some watching who don't know the Lord at all, who are totally into these things, and they don't know. They don't know that, as you said, they're the victim. Give it to them. As evangelism, give it to them. This is a very strong and dramatic thing to open people's eyes. And I said before, if there's the revival, when God brings revival, he always deals with the gods. And so we're praying for revival. Use it.
That's right.
Time is so short, but God wants you to use your calling. He wants you to use every moment of the time that he's given you to evangelize such a lost and dying world without the hope of Jesus Christ. Again, the book is The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Kahn. And I want to take just a second, Jonathan, to thank you again for joining us here at Skywatch TV. Was that incredible? Unfortunately, we're all out of time, but join us next week as Jonathan Kahn returns to speak about the God who is responsible for the single greatest cause of death, not only in our nation, but worldwide. It's going to be one you don't want to miss. Ladies and gentlemen, for everybody here in studio, everybody on panel, Jonathan, thanks for being here once again. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.